Today on our program, visiting with Boone Mayor Eli Steins. Good to have you here, Mayor.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Here we are, just flying along through, gosh, the month. We got our budget. That was the big thing last night.
The formal adoption of the fiscal year 2026 budget.
And once again, rate stays the same, as we've said.
Right.
I do have additional over what the current year is by about $500,000.
Driven by new properties coming onto the tax rolls. Last year was not an assessment year.
Yeah. So, and again, all in all, a lot. You did have a couple of people that had some opposition to it.
Yep.
And again, council listened to those comments and then went on and did go ahead and adopt it. But we had a lot of other things that
very
were
busy
really
meeting.
Going. It was very busy.
It was a meeting for updates and presentations.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, this is one I want to talk about because I found that very interesting with Jason Stauffer. Waylon Andrews had told the council, got back at budget time.
Yep.
He said, we do have a availability of a grant from DNR, which, by the way, applied for to get to remove the old fuel tanks.
Right.
Everybody should know that all the fueling for the trucks and the cars for the city all gets done down at the city shed.
That's right.
Those tanks have been in the ground over 30 years.
Yes.
And time to get them up.
Yep. End of their serviceable life. So we have to look at some options and take advantage of that grant funding along the way.
And one of the things that he's been doing is working with FS.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they have fueling services, a number of options and locations here. But put together, actually, what I thought was a very good presentation for the council to consider. Did not take any action on it, but looks like something that you can really work with.
Yeah, it's a pretty high-tech system. It's a Be Smart fuel management system. There's a lot of redundancy in the system, too, if there were to be a natural disaster and things like that. There are other places that they can go to get fuel. Has a lot of ways you can control the price, the cost to the city, and things like that when they can lock in fuel prices at a certain time, too. So there are a lot more high-tech options available with this system.
And it would be basically they would supply the tanks. You would just lease and that sort
lease
of thing.
The tanks.
Again, bottom line, and one thing they mentioned is liability insurance, a huge reduction there.
Exactly, since we're just leasing them. So there was a really nice presentation from Jason Stauffer. Waylon and the other department heads that use fuel are going to discuss further if this meets their needs, and then they'll make a formal ask to council later on.
It does look pretty promising, though.
Yeah, they think this is probably the way to go. They'll probably have some minor changes around the edges, or there are different options we can use with the system, too. So it depends on how many bells and whistles you want to put in it.
So, but it is something that we do know that the fuel tanks there are going to go, kind of like the airport going through the the fuel farm had to get that out of the ground. It's been in there for 30 plus years.
Yes, and then you run into new environmental regulations that have come up along the way since the time they were put in.
The whole works there.
Mm-hmm.
We also found out Alliant made a mistake.
Yes, so we got a little bit of a discount on our streetlights in 2017, I think he said. They undercounted the amount of 80-watt bulbs, I think it was 80-watt, by 850, something like that.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, and so we didn't have to pay for the usage on those streetlights for going on 8 years because they messed up in their data entry. So they warned us that, hey, this is going to be, about a $5,000 a month increase in your bill, and this is why. They're not going to backcharge us for their error on missing those streetlights. So
they do audits, try to do everybody in like a 10-year rotation.
That's what he said.
So. Just happened to come up on ours and go, whoops.
Yep. Like I said, we got a little bit of a discount for a few years, but we'll go back to paying full rate, full freight.
Brenda Dreyer was there to provide an update, first quarter update, Ames Regional Economic Alliance area. They were, again, we've had a lot of different things that have been going on. She also had a lot of DAISY updates for you.
Yes. So she's going to be updating council a little bit more frequently as the dirt starts moving as the projects move along, Hancock Drive extension and things like that. But she said for the remainder of this year, dirt work will be the primary focus out there at that site.
Big site, got a lot of dirt to move.
Yeah, and you know, some updates about the size of the project. It's increased quite a lot since the original reports. Square footage size of 1 million square feet. Total capital investment from DAISY of $1.2 billion.
And they're talking some additional jobs associated with
additional
that
jobs
as well.
A couple of local engineers hired already. One engineer out of Wisconsin. They talked about seven interns from Iowa State University.
Yeah, five, at least five.
Five. But. And they're going to split them up between the two of the different plants that DAISY already has. Have them intern there, get to know the process and things like that, and bring their knowledge back.
So again, looking to fill, and again, engineering, people forget, yes. They're not going to move all their engineers out of their current facilities. They may get a couple, but...
Yeah, we have plenty of engineers graduating right down the road.
So we can use that too. And we do know that they are planning their private, because they are a private company, their groundbreaking will be
They'll have a groundbreaking in May, but I'm sure they'll have press releases coming out about that to promote everything after the fact.
Got a lot going on too. Which is a lot of capital projects. When we talked about the budget, that was one of the topics that came up was capital projects.
Concern about capital projects.
And when I looked at, I kind of look at the data, and these are things we've talked about before. You already had a number of projects, water and sewer, that were going on.
And they're
some
all kind
of them are increasing now or maybe have capacity increases.
Yeah, or the dates have changed and they've moved forward and things like that. The bottom line is with any capital improvement project, you're using funds from that particular area, water from wastewater, storm sewer, road use tax and things like that, depending on the project you're doing.
One of the things that I know that you'd touched on previously, too, is because we kind of have a calculation of when DAISY comes online. Their utility usage.
Yes, and particularly
the impact that'll have.
The wastewater usage alone will eclipse all other wastewater users. And you know, in a home, you don't use that much wastewater, and so their rates that they will supply to the system will help keep rates low.
Right. Well, Chris Blocker stopped by, gave a little update. She's pretty excited about what's going on in Boone County.
Yeah, very busy.
This year.
Chris is very busy. You know, Ledges was named number one state park, so right in our back door there. So it's something that she can take to the trade shows and promote. Very excited about RVTV and the premiere of that. So check that out on Discovery and YouTube, I think. They have that.
Yeah.
Cobblestone did $1 million in revenue for the first time. So a big milestone for them. Really getting...
She's getting a lot of people coming in for fireworks tickets, isn't she?
Yep, she is. Yeah, and I had a conversation with the PR person that ran that, too, just kind of see what's going on and how they can we can help them and things like that.
So it's a bunch.
Yep, and then the NGCAA golf tournament, they're preparing for that in a few weeks as well.
Mid-May?
To Cedar Point.
Need good weather, though. We need chamber weather for that.
That's exactly right. Awesome. Yep, that's exactly right.
We'll have that's going on. I know she talked about that. She also mentioned we have a Firefighters Association gathering that's going to be you making use of the Central Iowa Expo.
That's right. Yep. So we have a lot of different types of guilds coming. It's kind of interesting having the firefighters and the fireworks
in one
location, the same season. So hopefully the firefighters make sure that facilities. Tip-top shape for the fireworks going on. Nights on the Green, the first one is May 2nd.
Coming up the 2nd.
Yeah. And they teased a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
So it's...
We'll see. We definitely know Scott's Amusements is planning. Mm-hmm. So they've already indicated that. And that's as their season gets started, they've got an opportunity to try to get a few things cranked up. So
yeah, and they talked a lot about a lot of different food options available as well.
Anyway, that's going to be going on. And Nate's been working a lot with them, Osmondson.
Rec Director Nate Osmondson's been assisting with the green space, anything happening to the green space, and with Knights on the Green.
So.
And he will also be assisting with Puffer Billy Day's execution as well.
So doing a lot of that. Get kind of your go-to city contact
events,
for a lot of that.
Yep. Events and planning. Yep.
Other things that came up last night, we didn't really have a utility committee meeting, but the only thing we've had is early in April, U.S. Water did release the 24 Consumer Confidence Report.
Yep.
We had that posted online. Yep. Again, another year with no infractions.
That's right. That's good news for us to know that our water plant is working as it should be, and we can be sure that our water is up to snuff.
And this is, folks, this is for 24. So this is even before we start doing some of those improvements that you had, the lime slaker and everything else.
Yep. So that's baseline.
Busy. We got all of that. Economic Development Committee did go take a walkthrough at Crook's office downtown. And once again, they hadn't really applied for anything, but they wanted to show them what they were planning.
Yeah,
what they were
they're going to make a huge investment in their parking lot behind the buildings there. As you can see, if you drive by there, the fencing has been taken down. There's some machinery there and things like that. And so they're planning on having a really, really nice, aesthetically pleasing parking lot, and they're investing a lot of money in that.
And making a usable space downstairs, like a conference room type setting.
Yep. Yep, so they're making improvements to the building as well.
So we'll have all of that happening. Anyway, there is the potential, and I know that's what the committee was looking at, the potential that they may apply for some BDIF and or Rejuvenate funds, Jumpstart Boone funds.
Jumpstart Boone,
That's something that they're looking at. We tabled action on an alley vacation.
Yes.
So you can explain a little bit more about this, because you know some discussions have been going on with this.
Correct. Yeah. So the Old Virginia Theater across from City Hall, folks may notice that scaffolding is up there. The Sheffers have hired somebody to work on the facade. So he's kind of a part-time guy. He'll be there, you know, off and on, but he does really, really good work. So he's working on that. They requested an alley vacation for just the north portion of the alley between that open green space and their building, so that they could, they wanted to build an extension of the building to expand their kitchen. It turns out that underneath that alley, smack dab in the middle, is a sewer line. And so there can't be anything built, even if the alley was vacated there. But they would still like to discuss vacation of the alley in order to put some external things on, vents, a ramp, trash, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because behind their building, they have a ramp for hulls. And on the west side, they're adjacent to another building. So they can't put anything on those sides of the building to make their restaurant operable.
Yeah. So they're talking, they've been sitting down, and some of the city, I think probably Terry Mormon's been involved with some of the discussions.
Yep, building official as well, very heavily involved.
And talking about what could we do to make this work, because they don't want to close the alley because there's too much traffic that goes through there.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to close the alley outright. There's concerns if the alley is vacated on the north that there wouldn't be accessible for the truck traffic, for Duncan's in particular.
Also Hull's. I think the plumbing deliveries come from all different directions.
So. Yep, and then the Sheffers pointed out that they would need deliveries also, so it's sort of a mutual need for all of them in that area. So it's in everyone's best interest to make sure that we find a workable solution.
Okay. So action was tabled. We could come back with a proposal and then have to set a public hearing. And
that's right. And we were trying to work through some things and see what options we have to make this workable. Planning and zoning did deny the request. It was, my feeling is that there wasn't enough representation from Sheffers to really say what their plan was. Mm-hmm. A part of the concern originally was fire suppression, but in that building they're going to put a sprinkler system in, so that wouldn't be an issue.
Okay. Well, we know that that's just one of the many things that are that came up last night.
Yes.
Others in this one, kind of important to Mike Cornelis. Well, I consider it to be kind of important.
I think so as well.
But because we know there are kids that can't wait to get to the pool. But
pool season's upon us. They are doing maintenance on the pool to make sure everything's ready to go. Routine maintenance showed that the heater, the water heater, was not operable as it should be. So we had some options. Do we clean it, try to repair it, and see if it makes it through the season? That seemed to be a really risky proposition. If the heater goes out, the pool is basically not going to be operable, and that would be a big loss for all of us. And so they looked at options for buying a new heater, since that one is towards the end of its nominal life. And they found one that should have a longer lifespan, a better efficiency. It's 99% efficient compared to, say, 76% efficient.
Is there some of the new technology that's available
now? Upgrade the technology, should save on utilities, should save on routine maintenance season to season. They spent about $5,000 on that old heater last year. So we have funds for the sand filters of the pool available. The CDU is going to mature. They're going to take those funds, apply them to a new water heater that should be installed before the season starts. Okay. So we should be on a good foot for the entire pool season.
And the one thing that basically the council didn't need to take any action, this will show up in a budget amendment because you're going to do it this fiscal year.
It'll be this fiscal year. There are a couple of budget amendments that need to be done all at once. We'll talk about the next one, utilizing funds from the sale of a fire truck.
As a matter of fact.
Yes. So that'll be another one, $30,000 to fix some issues on another fire truck, some valves and things like that.
And basically, the fire department sold one of their old trucks and got about $30,000 for it. Yep. It's still usable, but again, had been replaced by a newer tanker.
That's right.
A pumper tanker, I think it was. Yep. So they found a suitable buyer for that, and they'll go ahead with that. All right. Here's one where we ran into a little issue, and we had Rafe Montague and Andrea sit down, put together a better plan for selling properties, parcels.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't run into the issues you ran into
last
time.
That's right. So essentially, we have a property at 721 Lynn that was demoed. The city has that. We've already had several inquiries about it. We will set the public hearing first, so the public hearing for the sale, to clear that legally, and then actually complete the sale of the property at the next date.
But it's something where you will accept bids at that, and then the open bid will have an opportunity to take it.
Exactly.
So that's...
So we'll do that up front. We usually only have like one property at a time, so it's maintaining a list on the website isn't really a nice solution. This seems to be a lot better. So we have the public hearing first. It's out there. You know, bids can come in their time.
Make our way through it.
Right.
Council last night did approve a request for basically support to have a couple of our developers go back to pursue more tax credits, and actually Hunsucker's one of them. They want to do the second half of their project already.
Exactly. So we have some single family homes. We have an individual looking to buy, to build and sell. So that'll be coming up. Hunsucker, Lincoln still needs tax credits and things like that. So we're continuing to chip away on that housing front.
So those two will be submitted. One of the things the council did do last night, and we should point this out, is that City Administrator Bill Scare has been on leave.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people keep trying to get a hold of him, but Andrea is the contact person.
Yes. So if you need anything that
she's
you would normally...
She's the assistant, by the way, folks.
Yep. Assistant City Administrator. If you need anything in the interim right now, please do contact Andrea Elmquist or City Hall in general, and we can get you to the right place. We did approve a severance agreement for Administrator Scare effective April 30th.
End of the month.
Yeah, end of the month. So that'll be his last official day. But even in the interim now, please do contact Andrea.
All right. You told me you had some cool people that you were gonna appoint to pours. Well, I don't know if they're cool or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, you did have some people, Matthew Parsons, because historical preservation, this is one you need
because
part of Main Street.
Yes, and so we had Jessica Stanley chairing that. They got some really great work done out at the outset. She had to leave to become a teacher, and so she wasn't able to continue that. We haven't had a meeting of the Historical Preservation Board since then. It's been hard to find somebody for that board, so Matthew was really gracious to step up to that. So he's been appointed. I'll call a meeting here pretty soon so they can select a chair, and they are going to work on a formal historical district designation for downtown.
Okay.
And I'll need all the steps for that. And then we had one seat open on the Arts Advisory Board. Greta Irwin has stepped forward for that.
So good.
And they're working on some really cool plans for projects in the future that I'll be happy to announce later on.
Okay. Well, one thing we do know, before I run out of time, I want to make sure that we let people know. You've been going through it. Last time we visited, I asked you, I said, did you have a good list of candidates for administrator position? You
said strong list.
Had a strong list, worked that down, started doing interviews. You've had a couple of closed session meetings.
Closed session meetings for Zoom interviews. We whittled that down to four candidates. One of the candidates withdrew their application after they were selected for the shortlist just here recently. We will have a public reception and meet and greet at Bottled Bliss on Friday from 6 to 7:30. You can meet the three candidates, Jim Furnow, Andrea Elmquist, and Donovan Olson are the three candidates that we'll be interviewing in person. So you can meet them. A couple of them are locals. You might have met them before, but just ask them some questions and see and give some feedback to the team. And we'll have closed session interviews the following day with panels, and council will make a recommendation.
Sometime Saturday would have...
Yes.
Because then you got to go through, do we make the offer? Do we do it?
That's right.
You got the contracts and all of that.
Do you start over, right?
Yeah. Well, and one of the things is you do have, just so people understand, council will be doing some interviews, of the interviews. You have department heads or staff.
Yep. Council department heads and several people from the city at large. They'll be mixed in panels. And so they'll each get each other's perspectives on those panels. And then they'll report back at the end on what their impressions were of the three candidates and make a recommendation to council. Council will deliberate after
council
that.
Council has the final call.
They
and
will.
We'll see who will be coming on and how soon they'll get here.
That's the other question, too. Absolutely.
Get ready to start working, too. So plenty of other things happening, but I think maybe the next big things for us, as I look at my calendar here, is going to be Friday night on the green, probably.
Yep, nights on the green. Yep,
before get started, and they've got several that are planned through the year, so going to be a busy time. So
and fun.
I know we've had a lot of other things going on. By the way, you did do a proclamation last night. It was your proclamation.
My proclamation. Yep, supporting transgender rights.
And we did have one council member didn't support. Yep. Others did, and.
There we go.
And we move on
to
our next project.
Absolutely.
We do have a couple of other meetings that will be coming up, but this is the last regular council meeting. When you hit your May meetings, that's when you're going to be getting those budget amendments and things like that, and probably formal action.
Finishing up the fiscal year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got to get all that done, too, because it's pretty soon it's gone, and away we go. Again, Mayor Eli Stein's our guest on our program today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.